I want to help you to make next year or this year a better year than last year was. And I don't know how last year was for you. It might have been great. But how many know, even if last year was great, this year can be better? And maybe last year had some challenges. Maybe last year had some huge challenges. You know what? We know several people who last year, you know what, lost loved ones. Right. And that can create some real challenges. But we believe that 2020 can be a great year for you. But it's really important, listen to me very carefully, because you know what? When Chad and I first got here, one of the things that we saw right away was people's unwillingness to look at their own life with a degree of correction. So people would come to Tamara and I and talk about how awful their life is, and I'd say, well, can I ask you some questions? You know, stuff that they were going through. Can I ask you some questions? And I'd ask them, well, you know what? Talk to me. You talk about your boyfriend. Talk to me about your boyfriend. Oh, yeah. Like, you know what? Well, he's a nice guy. You know what I mean? He only beats me, like, every once in a while. And you know, he gets drunk a lot. Well, I get drunk with him, too, but not, like, I don't get drunk as much as he gets drunk. You know what I mean? And, you know, and all this stuff. And I'd be like, have you ever thought, like, maybe your life is messed up because of choices that you've made in your life? Wow, I didn't get a bunch of amens on that one. Or you know what? Tell me about your friends. Oh, I hang out with this person or that person and this person. Well, do they serve God? No, they don't serve God. You know what? They know who God is. You know what? But they don't. Well, yeah, I know. But do they serve God? Oh no, they don't serve God. Well, they're influencing your life in a negative way. Yeah. Hello. So Tamara and I started saying, to try to get it over in people's heads, how many know we're responsible for our lives?
That's right. Yeah.
Hello.
Come on now.
No, we're responsible for our lives. Yeah. And so we started saying, no, wait. Good choice is good life.
Right.
And bad choice is bad life.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean, I said this in the first service, I want to say this in the second service, it doesn't mean that some of us have been put in very difficult situations that weren't our choice. Many of you were raised in families without a mom or without a dad, or the dad was abusive or the mom was on drugs or all kinds of, you know, craziness that wasn't your fault at all. I get that. But it still doesn't change the fact that today's the first day of the rest of your life. And you can make some good choices now, or you can make some bad choices now. Does that make sense? And so I want to make a statement, and I want you to write this down. Again, I told the first service this. If you're not used to writing things down, make a change this week. And let me tell you why. Because you will remember more of what you write down than what you just hear.
That's true. Amen.
So, oh, Pastor, you were preaching good today. It was good. So good, man. You are, oh, man, you are funny. Anointed. It was anointed. Okay. What I say? It was good, man. It's anointed. See, what it's not about what you're hearing, it's about what you're retaining. Let me tell you about me. This is a training center, and I take this seriously.
Amen.
What I'm about to get you, what I'm about to serve to you, what I'm about to preach to you, can change your life forever.
Amen.
It's important. So, you know what? But the retention is so critical. Amen? You know, how many of you got a Starbucks card or an In-N-Out card for Christmas? Some kind of card. Raise your hand real high. Okay. How many of you have not spent it yet? Okay. So what kind of card did you get? A chili card. Okay. So you go to Chili's, you're like, yes, I know, you know, because nobody's going to like put $1 on your chili card, right? Well, I hope not. They're going to put like, you know, they're going to put $5. I mean, they're going to put like $25 or $50, right? So let's say Cody gave you the card. You're like, but he didn't tell you how much. You're like, dude, you know what? And you go to Chili's and you are munching out. You get a steak, you get some hors d'oeuvres, you get one of those lava cakes for dessert. Pastor, how do you know about those lava cakes? Oh, my friend told me they're really good. So here's my point. My point is, so you, man, your bill's like $23, and you're like, woo, you know, I know Cody set me up. And you give the waitress the card. And she goes by and swipes it, and then she comes back to you and says, hey, there was nothing on this card. Said, Pastor, what's your point? Here's my point. I'm not giving you nothing today. I'm giving you something very valuable. So, and next week, I'm going to give you something very valuable. So do what Cody did. You know, next week I might have a banner. Do what Cody does. But listen, it's okay that you don't have it now, but next week bring a pen and bring a pad and write it down, because it's not about what you're hearing, it's about what you're retaining. How many would receive that? Okay, good. Okay. So I want to write this down. If 2020 is to be a great year for you, you must make God your source. If 2020 is to be a great year for you, you must make God your source. Notice, I'm not assuming that 2020 is going to be a good year. I'm not assuming it's going to be a bad year. I don't know. Here's what I know. If you position yourself properly, you will be in position to have a great 2020. And let me tell you about God. I spent a whole week last week talking about the goodness of God. God wants 2020 to be a great year for you. Amen. And he's going to try. He is doing it right now. He's going to try to do everything he can to position you to a place that you can make 2020 a great year. But he won't force anybody into that. Let me say it like this. It's going to sound negative, but let me say it like this. 2020 can also be even a worse year than 2019. Or 2020 can be an awful year for you. Oh, that's not positive. Oh, no, I'm positive. It can. I hope it doesn't. And it doesn't have to be. But if you continue to make bad choices after bad choices after bad choices, how many know what they say, how you define insanity? Keep on doing the same thing thinking you're going to get different results. No. Let's do something. If 2019, or for many of you, 2019 was three steps forward, two steps back. You made some good choices and then you made some bad choices. The first thing I want to teach you, the first week that you're here this year, the first Sunday of the year is this. Make sure that you are making God your source. Amen. Now, what can be your source? A lot of things can be your source. Turn, if you will, with me to John chapter 6. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter 6. You can make all kinds of things your source. Your job can be your source. You know what? What the doctor says can be your source. You know what? What your spouse, you know what, does for you can be your source. Your intelligence, your intellect can be your source. You know what? Maybe your home, your assets. you know what, can become your source. You can have all these sources, but I'm telling you what, if you make those things your source, you're not going to have the life that God wants you to have. God wants to be your source. So in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is asking the apostles, he asked Philip, he says, hey, wait, does he ask Philip or does he ask? Yeah, he asked Philip, he says, hey, Philip, you know what? There's all these people coming to him. Probably close to 15,000 people are coming to him. And he sees these people and he tells Philip, hey, Philip, those people look hungry. You ever not eat breakfast? And 11, 11:15, 11:30, you start thinking, what do you start thinking? And I'm hungry, man. Well, these people are coming towards God, and God and Jesus says, hey, Philip, we need to get them something to eat. And the Bible says he does this to test Philip. Now, this is really important because this testing, let me get to that at the end. But he says it because he wants to test Philip. Philip says this. He says, God, he says, 200 denarii wouldn't feed these people. If we went and bought food for them, 200 denarii wouldn't feed all these people. Well, so well, what is that doesn't mean anything to us. So I looked it up. What is 200 denarii in our money? It's about $25,000. He says, Jesus, are you kidding me? There's 15,000 people plus. If we went and got them all food, if we spent $25,000 to buy these people food, and we came, how in the world are we supposed to come back with that? Come back with all this food and start passing it out? You know what? Tony's going to look at me and go, what's up, man? What, you know, that was a nice hors d'oeuvre. Where's the rest of the food? These people aren't going to be hungry. It's not even enough to give them a little bit. My first point is this. Write this down. Men's resources are so limited. Men's resources are so limited. Some of you are struggling in your marriage. And you're struggling, and you're struggling, and you're struggling. And listen, and you've almost given up on your marriage. You say, man, it's just like I can't figure it out. Bingo. That's exactly where God wants you. He wants you to give up trying to figure it out and start to seek him for counsel. Start to seek him for advice. Some of you have, you know what? Some of you have tried to, you know what? You're seeking counsel and you're getting all this counsel in your finances. You're in debt. You're trying to get counsel from finances. And listen to me very carefully. And some of these people that are giving you advice are giving you bad advice. Listen, ungodly advice. It makes me so sad. You know what? I have people who come to me and they're trying to get out of debt. And they say, you know what, I went to this counselor, and this financial counselor said, you know what, I need to spend all my money in getting out of debt. I thought, oh my goodness, don't take that counsel. Why? Because, you know what, what we taught earlier, you've got to be faithful and put your trust in God. Amen. Does this make sense to anyone? And so you get counsel from this person, you get counsel from that person. Listen, you take counsel yourself and you try to figure it out yourself. My first point, man's resources are limited. That's what Philip is saying. God, $25,000 and we wouldn't even feed them. They wouldn't even be full. Many times what happens in our lives is we're at the place we're at because we are just keep on going to the reservoir that is not very full. Does this make sense? Here, let me just simplify it. You know what? You ever been really thirsty? Listen, if we're going to go out to lunch, don't give me a small Coke. I don't want a small Coke. I don't want a medium Coke. I don't want a large Coke. Tell me, what kind of Coke do I want? She got me. She got me. She's using that Starbucks language that I resist. She's kidding with me. She said, Trenta, it's their extra large. I go to Starbucks. I will not use, actually, I do it if I'm with my wife because I'm gracious to my wife. But the point is, I want the extra large. I'm thirsty. Some of you are sipping out of your drink. You're drinking. And it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And then you suck that straw, and what happens? It makes this awful noise. It's like, I'm empty. Listen to me. That's what drink you're drinking out of. It's a reservoir that's empty. And you just keep on going back to it thinking, you know what I mean? You know what you're doing? You're waiting for the ice to melt. Come on, how many can relate to what I'm saying? It's like, oh, you get a little bit more bit. Oh, you know, so stop it. There's a reservoir that God has for you that has this abundance of wisdom, abundance of joy, abundance of understanding. The Bible says, if you lack wisdom, ask God who gives it to you freely without reproach. Actually, it says he gives it to you abundantly. There's this abundance, which is my second point. Your reservoir of your understanding is so limited. You know, even you get all around your friends. Oh, my goodness. Why are you listening to your friends? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Listen, if you got godly friends, that's one thing. But some of you listening to your friends, they don't know the counsel of God. They don't know what they're talking about. Here's the thing. You ever talk to somebody and they don't know what they're talking about? But they don't know that they don't know what they're talking about? Come on, brother. Hello. But they're like, no. This is what you should do. This is what, you know, I won't take that out of that. You know, I won't take that out of him. You know what I mean? Slip out the back, Jack. You know, you won't let him do that to you. And they're about to give you all this ungodly counsel. Amen. But they're going to do it with such confidence. You're like, oh, really? Yeah, for sure, man. Are you kidding me? They're all serious and they're all confident. Well, listen to the sucking sound. There's this emptiness that's taking place. God says, no. If you'll connect with me, there's this abundance. Abundance. I'm not trying to keep my wisdom from you. I'm trying to give my wisdom to you. And I'll give it to you. Great abundance. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Am I hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My second point, you know what, is God's resources are what?
Unlimited.
They're unlimited. Unlimited. Think about this for a minute. The diseases that are uncurable, even now still uncurable. You know what? How many know God healed them all? You know what? At the time, leprosy was uncurable. And I think leprosy is curable now. But you know what? Jesus healed it completely. Did he not?
Amen.
Blindness. You know, they still haven't figured out how to make somebody who's blind give them eyes that can see.
Amen.
Deafness. You know what? Somebody who can't walk. You know, in the medical profession, I mean, they're doing, and praise God that there's breakthroughs. Amen?
Yeah,
praise God for the breakthroughs. Some amazing breakthroughs. But how many know, you know what? For many people that can't walk, All they can do is get them a wheelchair. Try to make their life a little easier. How many know Jesus wasn't getting nobody a wheelchair? Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You know, they have these kind of you know, they got these new walkers, and you can walk on them, and then when you get tired, you can turn around and sit down. Jesus, he doesn't tell, hey, Peter, give me one of those cool walkers, man. No, he don't do that. His ability is unlimited. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Think about this. You know how many people Jesus raised from the dead? Three people. Yeah, thank you. At least three people. The Bible says not everything was written down what Jesus did. But we know he healed at least, he rose three people who were dead. You know what? One of them was Jairus' daughter. And we know she was probably dead for maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours, maybe 15. We don't know exactly how long it took. But they go to Jesus and they go to Jairus and say, don't bother him anymore because she's dead. That's right. So then he tells Jairus, hey, dude, stay focused. That's right. That's right. Shh, don't listen to all this. Don't stay with me, okay? Okay? Remember this? So they get home, and then Jesus heals. So maybe she was dead an hour, 2 hours, I don't know, 3 hours. Remember the second time he healed somebody? Remember that it was the son. And the son and his mom was crying. Stops the funeral right there and just raises him from the dead. How long was he dead? I don't know. Maybe a day, maybe 2 days. Maybe Lazarus, number three. Remember Lazarus? Lazarus, they go to Jesus. Remember this? They go to Jesus and they say, Lazarus is dying. He's so sick, he's going to die. You know what Jesus did? He stayed where he was 2 days. By the time he gets to Lazarus, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. 4 days. Then they go to roll away the stone, and what's everybody like?
Bad idea, Jesus.
Right? Now, here's my question. Why did Jesus stick around 2 days? Okay, could it be? I don't know, but I'm asking you. Could it be? I'm just speculating. Could it be to break our thinking? To break those thinking of the people that are there? To show people that God can raise people from the dead past 3 days? I'm just asking, could that be? Could God be speaking? Could God have used Lazarus to speak to you about something going on in your life that you think is impossible to change, you think is impossible to happen, and God is speaking to you through this sermon, through Lazarus, and saying, stop thinking that way. Why did you give up? Your giving up has to do with you trying to figure it out yourself, and you don't need to give up, but you need to put your dependence on me. Amen. Does this make sense to anyone? So in the story, you know what? What does God do? Jesus raises that up, blesses it, thanks God for it, and then he passes it out to the apostles, and then the apostles start passing it out, and what happens? Everyone gets fed. See, what was it? You know, at one point, he's feeding 4,000. At another point, he's feeding 5,000. How many know if there was an extra, if there was 50 more people come, how many know God wouldn't sweat it? Like, oh, what are we going to do? 50 more people. Hello? Sometimes we have people over at my house. You know what? And I like there to be lots of food. Did you notice this the other day? Shit, Tamara got all kinds of food. I got some more food. Did you see that the other day? Man, what were you thinking when I got all that other food? Yeah, I'm thinking, man, what is my husband doing? Well, here's what I was doing. I like to, when people come over, I like to make sure they got enough food. Amen? How many know Jesus is the same way? Oh, come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Jesus is the same way. Those people ate as much as they wanted to eat. Why? Because, see, with God, his resources are unlimited. That's why it's so important for you to stop leaning onto your own understanding, stop figuring your stuff out, start to get into his, You know what I mean? You're sitting there with the small Coke. You ever see these small Cokes? I'm not talking about the small Coke. I'm talking about the small Cokes. It's like, man, what is this communion or what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Amen. So, you know, and you're sucking it and you're waiting for the ice to melt. And God says, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I've got, how many like not the 2 liters? How many like the 3 liters? Amen. Come on, some of you don't even know. It's like 3 liters? What are you talking about? I like the 3. You turn around, man. There's a whole case of 3 liters right there. God is saying, listen, I will provide for you. Get your eyes off yourself. Stop thinking you can fix everything. Stop depending on man. Stop depending on your job. Start, you know, because for some of you, it's like, I lost my job. Oh my goodness, who cares you lost your job? God will provide a better job. Put your trust in God. I don't care that you lost your job. I don't mean that. But you understand what I'm saying. I'm saying, guys, understand. Listen, when I worked in the grocery store, about every 3 years, they'd talk about going on strike. And many times, they'd come to me, and they'd be like, Drew, what do you think? Are you going to go on strike? And I'd be like, I don't know. What do I know? But you know what they could see? I didn't care. Because I always understood that God was going to take care of me. Amen. Tamara and I were tithers. You know what? Ever since we got married. Before we got married. And so when they, what are you going to do? What's going to happen? You know what I mean? I was like, I don't know. You know what? Listen, Albertsons wasn't my provider. God was my provider. And God was using Albertsons to bless me. Does that make sense? See, if that's your mentality, then guess what? There's talk about going on strike. And what you, man, you are enjoying, you know what? You're In-N-Out Burger. Amen? You're just in a different position. Why? Because you're putting your trust in God. For many of you, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but for many of you, it's like, man, your marriage isn't what you know it should be. Can I speak to somebody today? I'm not going to point you out, amen. Let me just say this. When I say stuff like that, just relax, okay? I don't know who I'm talking to, amen? No, this is important that you understand. Amen. How many want a pastor that speaks prophetically?
Come on now.
Okay, but let me tell you what. When I speak prophetically, I can't remember ever me saying something and God saying, dude, this is for Carlos. Tell Carlos, you're going to teach him, but this is for Carlos. Never, ever, ever has that happened to me. I'm not saying it couldn't. I'm just saying it doesn't happen to me like that. I will sense that I need to speak to a certain. Last week, a Christmas Sunday. How many were here Christmas Sunday? I went into the whole thing about pornography. It's like, what are you doing that for? Of all days, what are you doing that for today? You know why? Because the Holy Spirit said, you need to deal with this issue. Yeah, amen. Let me just tell you as a pastor. Listen, if you came here and you don't want to work on your issues, wow, this is getting pretty deep, honey. If you came here not to work on your issues, you know what? You're probably religious. If you don't, you know what I mean? If it freaks you out when I prophetically read your mail, listen, can I tell you why I'm doing that? That you would make, listen, oh my goodness, I don't know who this is for. When I'm dealing with your issues, I don't know who I'm talking to. God is using me to know what's going on. But listen to me. You've got to receive what God is saying to you. Because if you don't, if you say, oh, hallelujah. Listen, Some people think that because when they heard the word of God, that is, praise the Lord, I'm doing the word of God. Listen, you really get no brownie points for hearing the message. The message is designed that you would make an adjustment, that you would go, oh my goodness, God is speaking to me. Does this make sense? So let me get back to marriages. Can I go back to marriages? But I need to teach that. I don't know who I'm talking to. But for some of you, you've figured out how you, here's what you think. You think if your spouse changes, your marriage is going to get better. Let me tell you what's wrong with my marriage. Let me tell you what's wrong with my marriage. I mean, I'm not hinting around here. Let me tell you what's wrong with my marriage. My wife would just change. You know, our marriage would get better. Listen, I highly doubt that's the problem. Here's what I think. I think there's so much work on your side of the street that just work on your side of the street and watch what'll happen. See, watch this. And maybe it is mostly Tam's fault. I knew I wouldn't get a good response to that. That's why I did that. I was just kidding there. But let's say it is. You know what? Maybe God is calling me to minister to her in showing her, not telling her, what to do. Hello? Maybe, watch this. Maybe your spouse is just too immature to handle the truth. Could you do this? Could you just walk in love and stop trying to correct your spouse and try to inspire your spouse? Amen. Okay, listen, that was just free. That was just boom for free. That's how I am. Blessings to y'all. Okay. Listen, if you're married, this is a really good church to come to. Because I hear, you know what? Listen, you want marriage counseling? Listen, Tamara and I will counsel anybody. But I tell people all the time, make sure you're here on Sunday and Wednesday. Because some of the best counseling that takes place for marriages happens right here in the middle of the service. Okay. So, whether it's marriage, whether it's your finances, whether it's all kinds of areas in your life, there's this dependency on yourself, and God says, why are you depending on yourself when I have all these resources for you? And if you'll humble out and allow me to guide you. See, here's the thing, though. Let's go back to marriages. When you start to ask God, help me, I want to depend upon you. Then many times he's going to say, okay, here, I want you to do this. You know what? I want you to stop being so critical about your wife. Well, that wasn't my plan. My plan was to go home and write a list of all things that she could fix. Hello? Do you see the difference? See, when you start depending on God, he might ask you to do some crazy things. Can I illustrate? Look at the story you have right there. Blesses the food. Passes it out. Did you see it? Passes it out to who? The disciples. Passes what out to the disciples? The loaves of bread. I think sometimes we get just way too spiritual. I mean, way too. It's like we just need to read the story. These apostles were given loaves of bread. What am I supposed to do with this? God, where's the abundance? Where's the big loaf? Where's the huge? Where are the loaves? Are they under the table? Where are they? Here they are. Start passing this out. See, we many times, the reason why we don't want to give God lordship is because we don't think he's very smart. No, listen, God can fix our marriages. God can get you out of your finances. But you're listening to somebody who doesn't understand, like, your finances. One of the best things you could ever do in your finances is start a giving plan to give into God's kingdom. Now, how many know you're going to have people argue with you about that? You're going to have financial people go, all the pastor just wants is your money. You just want your money. Guys, you know what? We are completely off track. God doesn't want your money. God wants your heart.
That's right.
God wants your life.
Yeah.
God wants you. You know what he wants? He wants you to stop making decisions in everything you do. He wants to tell you what to do. But here's the good news. The good news is you're going to give up your little small Coke that's on empty already, and you're going to now have this abundance because God has this abundance.
Amen.
It's right in the story. He tells the apostles, do this, and it doesn't make any sense. But guess what? When they do it, who passed out the bread? Come on, you theologians. Who passed out the bread? Who passed out the bread? Who gave the bread to the apostles to pass out?
Jesus.
This is deep. Who picked up the remnants? Here, let me tell you the answer. The disciples. Ooh, please connect the dots. They do something that is nonsensical, and they walk in the supernatural. Connect the dots. They do something that is nonsensical, and they walk in the supernatural. Let me tell you what. This sermon's like, oh, yeah, I'll be obedient. Yeah, God is my source. Listen, he's going to test you. You know what the Bible says in that passage? The Bible says that Jesus tested who?
Philip.
What's he want to see? He was not only, I believe, testing Philip, he was testing them all. Here you go. Here's a loaf of bread. Here's a loaf of bread. Here's a loaf of bread. Here is enough to not feed probably 12 people. Now you start believing for the miracle. I don't know what happened. We'll see the video when we get to heaven. But could it be that every time they ripped it off, they went back again and there was more for another person? I mean, oh, this is a happy day. Like, God, I don't. See, can I tell you what? Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes you just have to do it. Sometimes you have to just do what God says, and it ain't going to make any sense to you. Here's one of my, I'm just going to do what God says. Here you go. Enjoy your bread. Here you go. Enjoy your bread. Here you go. Whoa. Here you go. Enjoy your bread. Here you go. Hoo-hoo. Behind the back. Enjoy your bread. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, at some point in time, the light bulb goes on, and you'll get a revelation that God is smarter than you. That God has this plan, and it doesn't make any sense. One time, my wife tells this story. How many are comfortable? How many are comfortable right now? Man, let me see. Oh, man, these chairs are comfortable. So we felt like we needed to get rid of the pews and get some chairs. The chairs, I don't know how many we bought, but they're expensive. Good furniture is not cheap, you know.
Right.
And so it was about $20,000 for the chairs we wanted to buy, the chairs you're sitting in. So we said, hey, you know what? We know we took up an offering. We're not going to do this today, but we're going to take up another offering, and they'll be for these, to get rid of these pews that are 30 years old. And a whole $400 came in. $400 won't even buy this first row with the chairs. And we were just like, what are we going to do? And we had tried asking, you know, but that's what we got, $400. And we're like, this is not going in a good direction. So we went to a pastor's breakfast. And I'm sitting here right next to a pastor in the church. I'm talking to him. Tamara's sitting right here. And Tamara is sitting next to another pastor in the church. Okay? And this pastor she's sitting next to is pastoring a small church. Now, Tamara tells her this story, but I'm telling this story now. I'll show you the difference in a minute. So I'm sitting there talking to this guy, but she was right. I hear what she's saying. And she's talking about, he asked her, you know what's going on with your church? How's it going? She says, going good, but we need to get some chairs, and we're trying to raise money, but we're not raising any money. And I don't know exactly how she says it, but then she says this. She says, maybe you'd like to give, maybe your church would like to donate and give us some money, maybe out of your missions fund, to help us buy our chairs. Now, this guy is pastor. At that point in time, our church was probably about 45 people, maybe, if we added everybody, kids, everybody. And that church was probably like 15. Small church, just barely scraping by. And she says, when she said that, she says she could feel me go like this. She doesn't do that, but I do that. But this is the truth. This is a true story. I heard her saying that, and I thought, man, she must be hearing from God right now. How many know there's things that God asks you to do, and you just have to put your dependency on Him? Listen to me. And when you don't, here's what you're saying. God, I just can't give you my life. I just can't trust you. I don't think you're that smart. We needed $20,000. He said, I can't do anything for you. But I'll give you a phone number, and I want you to talk to these people, and maybe you can write a grant and get that money. Tamara said, I've dealt with grants, and they're pretty complicated, and it hasn't worked out good. He said, you might be surprised how simple this is. We got the information, we filled out, just wrote them a pretty simple letter, what we wanted, what we're going to do with that money, talking about our church and what we're doing. You know what? In about 10 days later, maybe 2 weeks later, I pick up a check for $18,958, which is exactly what we asked for. Amen. And we bought the chairs that you're sitting in today. Now, here's why I tell you that story. You say, Pastor, and listen to me. I told the first service a whole different story. I told them two stories. I could tell you story after story after story after story after story of God blessing me, my life, my family, our congregation, because I was anxious for nothing. I just had this thought, you know what? God is a blesser. He wants to bless us. We just have to stay on His track. We just have to listen to Him. What Peter said, where else would we go? You have the words of life. Who else are we going to listen to? Listen, isn't it time that you got smart enough to stop listening to yourself and your crazy kooky friends and your nutty relatives? Come on, somebody say amen. I think it's time. Here's what I want to tell you about that story. Not only did we get a check for the chairs you're sitting in. Somebody have a bulletin? Okay, thank you. Okay, so we're over in the North Sanctuary. We've only got, we don't have very many people, and we start service at 10:30. At that time, we had one service, it was 10:30. We do praise and worship. After praise and worship, we do offering. After offering, I start preaching. I'm preaching for about 20 minutes. And after 20 minutes, guess what happens? The fanners come out. And the fanners are out because in the north sanctuary, we had no insulation. You go over there, you'll see these big beams holding this wood. And all there is the wood and then outside the shingles. You know what it's like? You don't know this. But it was like being outside in just a shade cover. That's all it was. When we took the roof off, you could see the sunlight coming through all the slats. We were faked out. We thought, we weren't. We were just in a shade cover. That's all it was. So at some point in time in the summer, you know what? By 25 minutes in the service, it's like, Pastor, what are you saying? I think you're done now, right? Right? Guess what? That cost about, because it was really expensive. We not only had to put a new roof on, but we had to put this, I wish I had it because I have it over in my office. Don't ever throw that away. We had this special foam where the plywood was put down, then there was a gap, then the foam was put on that, then we put more plywood down and the roof on that. What did that provide? Insulation. Guess where we got that money for insulation? It was very expensive. Just that roof over there cost us about $25,000 because we had to do all that. Guess where we got that money from? The same source that bought the chairs you're sitting in. Aren't I grateful that I got a godly wife who isn't going to think when the Holy Spirit says, no, you ask him. You ask him for that money. That my wife isn't going to override what the Holy Spirit says and say, oh, I better not. Drew might get upset. You know what I mean? That doesn't make any sense. I'll look like a, listen, just do what God asks you to do. See, I'm telling you what, your life is about to get really, really good. If when Jesus hands you some bread and says, I want you to pass this out, you won't sit around and argue with God what a bad idea this is. You'll just shut up and start passing out the bread. And I don't know if it's going to take one day, one week, one month, one year, 2 years. I don't know when. Here's what I know. I can trust God all day long. And if it takes him a week, it takes him a week. If it takes him a month, it takes him a month. If it takes him a year, it takes him a year. But I'm not going to go back to living a life where everything's dependent on has to go through my intellect. It's just not a smart thing to do. Because I'm telling you what, God will set you up in 2020, if you will get off your own agenda and get on his agenda. How many heard what I said today? So, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you want to accept Jesus in your heart, we're going to dismiss you in just a couple more minutes. But I don't want to have a service that we don't give people an opportunity to accept Jesus in your heart. I don't want to assume that every single person in here is saved because I don't know. But maybe you feel like you're not. Maybe you don't know for sure. Don't walk away that you don't ask Jesus in your heart. If that's you, I'm going to say a prayer with you in a minute. I want you to, with every eye closed and every head bowed, I'm not going to call you up front and embarrass you. I'm just going to ask you, hey, I believe God is speaking to you. If that's you, raise up your hand. I want to pray a prayer with you. Who in this room? Yes, I see that hand. You can put your hand in. Anyone? Yes, you can put your hand in. Anybody else? Can we say this together? Jesus, come in my heart. Change my life from the inside out. I am sorry for running my own life. I want to put you in charge. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you said that prayer, we believe that you got born again right now, this very second. We believe that you ought to do everything you can. Find a good Bible-believing church. Or I'll even say it like this. Start coming every Sunday and every Wednesday. Give us a year and watch what will happen in your life. Watch the change that will happen inside out. It'll be awesome. Now, some of you heard God today as I was preaching. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Some of you said, you're saying all kinds of things. You might be saying, Pastor, last year I just ran my life too much. I did a little, I did a lot. That's not up to me to judge. But you're raising hand saying, Pastor, I want you to pray because I want to have that kind of life you're talking about. Father, you see the hands that are up. Help every single one of us who hands up. We recognize through the power of the preaching of your word, we want to be the ones that'll just do whatever you tell us to do, no matter what. And we trust. We put our trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.